This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hi, everyone. We've now put together another best of episode of Tea with Twiggy, and this time it's American actors, and it's the lovely Molly Ringwald and the amazing Fran Drescher, who I worked with many years ago, and we became best buddies. And she's now doing extraordinary things in the States, and she's just been re-elected as the president of SAG-AFTRA, the Union for Actors, and it's extraordinary what she's doing. So we've put together this best of episode with those two talented ladies. Enjoy. You've got the most beautiful voice, and you've done, I love the album you did.
Thank you.
When did you record that? I found it on YouTube.
Yeah, I recorded it about, I think, 10 years ago. And then I toured with my band. But then I realized I didn't really like touring very much. I really love, you know, sort of my fantasy is just to, you know, go and just sing a few songs in a jazz club, you know, really for no money, or, you know, that was always my, I grew up with jazz. So it was sort of like my comfort music. And I loved that. But then, you know how, when you do something that you love and then it sort of becomes, monetized, it becomes a career, you know, and it kind of sucked the love out of it a little bit for me. I just really didn't like being away from my family that much. So I sort of took a break. And then also I moved from California back to New York, and all of the musicians that I worked with are in California. I mean, not to say that there aren't incredible jazz musicians in New York. I might do it again, but
you should, because you've got the most beautiful voice.
Oh, thank you.
Did you get? I mean, I knew you obviously were a singer because you'd done musicals, but I didn't know you'd done the jazz albums until I was doing my research.
Well done.
But your dad was a jazz musician. What did he play?
He plays, or I should say he played, because unfortunately he had a stroke a couple years ago and can't play anymore. But yeah, he grew up, you know, he supported the family, you know, with playing music. That was kind of like my special thing with him, because my brother and sister didn't seem to inherit the musical ability, but I did. So it was kind of like our special thing that we did together. And so I used to sing with his jazz band when I was little. And that's kind of how I ended up getting cast in a musical, because somebody had seen me sing and said, oh, there's this play called Annie that's coming on the West Coast, and, you know, first West Coast production of this play. And, you know, she should really audition for it. And so we thought, okay, why not? And I auditioned for it, and I didn't get the role of Annie, but I got the role of, you know, one of the orphans. And I did that for 15 months when I was about 10 years old. Yeah, 10 or 11.
Oh, my God. Now, did you do every performance? Because at that age, don't they kind of, one does matinee and one does evening, or?
No, I did every performance. I think the laws in England were different than the laws at the time in America. I think maybe in America, I don't know, I haven't checked into it, but I think now in America, it might be the way that it has been in England, where they cast, you know, three different people,
I don't know what age it stops at, but I think at 10, I think they have to two or three kids doing it.
Yeah, no, I did every performance. And I remember they wanted to, at a certain point you kind of age out of the part, and they wanted to recast Annie. But the girl that was playing Annie said, no, you can't make me leave a performance. And she absolutely refused to leave the performance, to let Martin Sharnan see this other girl play the part. She just refused, and she was protected by the union. And it just seemed like such a crazy thing to me. But eventually her contract came up and, she was booted out. I did it for 15 months, I think just about every show.
Wow.
Yeah. It was very, traumatic though, when it was over, because, when you're that age, anything you do for, a month, it's like years. So 15 months to me was my whole life. So suddenly I had to leave all of, my friends and this way of life. It was where I went to school, because we would go to school with, one teacher for the whole day. And then we'd have a break and then do the performance at night. And so when it was time to leave, it was really heartbreaking.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Nervous coming into LA.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
To do it, because we shot it all in LA. We did about 8 or 9 episodes, didn't we?
Yes, and we became fast friends.
I fell madly in love with you on when we first met.
And we became neighbors.
Yeah, and do you remember our first lunch?
Barely. Where did we go?
It was off the Sunset Strip. Because I remember you laughing, because I ordered what a normal
was
plate
it
full
just
of food.
You and me, or was it with
no,
the producers?
No, it was Julie Everybody. And the producers. Oh, yes. And you yes. laughed and said to me, oh, my God, you're eating proper food. I thought you'd eat a salad. It was...
yes, because you're Twiglets.
And then we ended up in the same neighborhood.
Yes, we were neighbors. And I remember you were upset because you had a telephone pole in your backyard. And
right.
I said, with wires. And I said, but you're in a very old and historic neighborhood. They didn't bury the wires back then.
That's
this was
right.
the original Los Angeles, and it has a lot of history to it. And then you said to me, now I love me telephone pole. I'll never forget
well,
that.
I'm glad princesses happened, because I got to meet you and
well,
like,
that's
you know,
exactly true. And I just finished yet another short-lived series, which I'm thinking could possibly be my last, because I don't know if I get the same thrill from it anymore. But I loved the people that I worked with. And I said, sometimes you do a job, it's short-lived, but the friendships that come out of it endure.
It's
the test
true.
Of time. And I do believe that was our blessing.
Also, it was our friendship that led to the idea for The Nanny, correct?
Absolutely.
Please tell that story, because it's so lovely.
After Princesses, I did a pilot also for CBS that was supposed to be a summer replacement. And that didn't get picked up either. So I said to Peter, I'm going to cash in miles. We have just enough for me to go first class. And I'm going to go visit friends. Now, I had not ever traveled that distance without my husband. but I was beginning to spread my wings and learn how to be less codependent. Mm-hmm. So, and I was really scared, but I pushed myself. And I came and stayed with you guys.
That's right.
And I remember that, you know, even staying in your apartment, I had the window open, but I was like scared that the window was open, that somebody was going to climb through the window.
Be so hard, it's on the third floor.
I know. This is how crazy I was. And so I put like all kinds of noisy making trinkets on the window ledge.
Oh, that's so,
so if anybody tried to get in, it would wake me up because they would disturb my little, you know, alarm system there. And you guys were working, you and your handsome husband, Lee Lawson, you were both working. So I was, you know, I was independent enough to get there, but not to walk around a big city like London all by myself. Mm-hmm. So what did I do? I schlepped your little daughter, Carly, with
who
me.
Was, how old was she?
She was probably like
10 or 11.
11, yeah, I think she was 11, like 11.
11, 12, yeah.
So sweet. And I've always had a great affection for her because she's, you know, very creative child. And she used to do a lot of animation.
That's right.
As long as I know her. And we just clicked. So I'm schlepping her all over London. And out of the blue, the kid says to me, "Oh, Fran, my new shoes are hurting me." And I'm thinking, what the hell is she telling me for? Does she want me to take her back? Because I'm not ready yet. So I said to her, "Honey, just step on the backs of them." And very innocently, she says to me, "Won't that break them?" And I said, "Break them in." And so she continued on this journey with me.
I hope you enjoyed listening to those clips of Molly and Fran. And if you want to listen to the full episodes, you just have to scroll down the podcast feed until you find them and press play. And they're fun episodes with two smashing ladies.